Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's where you get the Tasmanian racing edge. Now on Carnival, welcome to Tas Racing Talk. Here's Shane Yates.
Hello and welcome along to Tas Racing Talk for another week. Today we catch up with Simon Stout and Kevin Nielsen, the co-development managers for Tas Racing around the States. Jamie Cockshut will be along with all the harness racing tips for the week. Greg Fay and Rick Puccinelli talk everything greyhound racing. And we'll have Christian Salter, the trainer driver of Boston Hagen, who took out the Dandy Patch Championship last week in Hobart. And also Mick Burles will be along to have a chat about the cleaners' performance coming up on Saturday in the Winter Championship at Flemington. And of course, there's also the Ultimate Punters Experience, the big quiz where you can win trips to Tassie, car hire, accommodation, thanks to our accommodation partners, Rest Point in Hobart, and also the Launceston Country Club. So stay with us on the show on Tas Racing Talk for this week.
They're racing.
Now on Tas Racing Talk, time to talk thoroughbreds.
One of the real stars of Tasmanian thoroughbred racing, the cleaner, contests the Winter Championship at Flemington on Saturday. And joining us is Longford trainer Mick Burles. How are you, Mick?
I'm good, thanks, Shane.
Now, you must be looking forward to what should be a tremendous race on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it won't be an easy race, but I'm certainly looking forward to it.
Well, he won in good style last time out at the Valley on the 21st of June, scored there by three lengths and never looked likely to be run down.
No, he's a good front runner and he's just sort of starting at his peak, I think.
Now, he's drawn wide. He's got the visitor's draw on Saturday. He's out with the crowd.
Don't matter, mate. He got that when he won at Flemington last time. He won at Flemington. He drew the outside.
And Anthony Darmanin staying aboard?
Yes, mate.
Now, he's a real Vaux Rogue, and if you want to take it back even further, a real Scotch and Dry performer. Gets out in front and gives them something to chase. A real crowd pleaser, isn't he?
Well, Scotch and Dry horse I've never ever forgot. I never forget the day he beat Gunsend, and I've always wanted a front runner, and now I've got one.
Now, you've got one all right. He's the George Adams winner from the 26th of February on Launceston Cup Day. He beat Jack Corey Jim, who was racing in great form at the time, and also Inner Warrior. He ran fifth to Tasmania's other star, Gigi's Blackflash, who ran second in the Cup. They really are the two standout performers as far as the Tasmanian racing scene, aren't they? Gigi's Blackflash and the cleaner.
Yeah, well, they're really lucky to have two horses going at the same time. There's usually only one outstanding, but this time there's a couple, and Gigi Blackflash is a brilliant horse.
Now, he's had the 39 starts, the cleaner, for 15 wins and 11 placings, so he's been a model of consistency for you, and prize money of a tick over $500,000. Did you ever think he'd reach those heights?
Well, not really, but I knew I had a good horse on my hands when he first started, more or less, before he even won his maiden. I thought, a pretty fair horse, this bloke. And then when he started winning, well, he put a picket fence together. There wasn't much around to get near him.
He's got a good first-up record. He's won 3 out of 7. Second-up, 3 out of 7. And the track holds no fears, being a winner there as well.
No, the track doesn't worry him. He actually likes Flemington, I think.
So the long straight's not a concern, obviously?
No. Well, he puts that much pressure on them early that I think it brings a few of them undone.
Who do you see as the main dangers on Saturday?
Oh, probably that young horse, Ringo. He goes pretty good. I can't think of the other things, no. Beat Ringo last start, actually.
So there's a couple in the...
Michelle Payne's riding it, I mean.
All right, Michelle. Let's have a look. Michelle Payne. No, she's not on my list here, but we've got some pretty strong runners in the event. Peter Moody's got one. That's Soros. It's going well. Also, yeah. Chris Waller's got 3 or 4 in the race as well.
Yeah, he's got a couple of them. Got to get a run. They haven't had any emergencies, haven't they?
Yeah, well, there's a few there that will be hoping to sneak into the field, no doubt. But you've got a great chance. There's no risk about that. He's carrying 60 kilograms. Is that any problem?
Not a problem in the world. I don't think he's ever had under 57 in his life.
You're sounding pretty confident, Mick.
Well, I'm a little bit confident. The weather's worrying me a little bit. It's pouring in Melbourne. They've got a heavy 10 at Bendigo, and it's still raining. It's supposed to rain Friday and Saturday, so just have to wait and see, mate. The wet track doesn't worry him that much either because he's won on a heavy 10.
Well, I see he's had the two starts on heavy for a win. He's won 4 out of 7 on slow and 7 out of 20 on dead, so doesn't seem to be any track at all that does worry you.
No, well, when he's out in front, I mean, like that bloke said the other day, when they're out in front like that and the horse is trying to make ground, their wheels are spinning.
They are indeed. Well, I'm sure he'll give Tasmanian thoroughbred followers a real sight, and I hope it's a great thrill for you on Saturday, and let's hope he brings home the bacon.
Thanks very much, mate. I hope he does too.
Taz Racing Talk, everything you need to get the edge.
Simon Stout, the co-development manager of Thoroughbred Racing in Tasmania, joins us now on Taz Racing Talk. Welcome to the show, Simon.
Great to be back with you again, Shane.
Now, we've got some exciting news coming up around the Summer Racing Carnival this season.
We have. Last week we were able to release our final dates for our Summer Racing Carnival, and it involves a restructure of both of our two major cup carnivals to produce mini carnivals. Both Hobart and Launceston will be running Tasmanian Derby and Beau Mistress meeting on the Friday twilight, leading into the Hobart Cup back on the Monday. And that'll be the 6th and 9th of February, respectively. And also the TTC will have an Oaks meeting on the Sunday, the 22nd, leading into their Cup Day on the Wednesday. And they're looking to create a Ladies' Day around that Sunday, so exciting times ahead for both clubs.
Now, we're looking at a one-off experience and see how it pans out, or has it been locked in for a number of years?
No, we're looking at running this for a minimum of 3 years to really give it time to get some continuity and get people on board, and particularly, you know, with the carnivals being so popular with interstate visitors, I think it's very important that we allow both the clubs and ourselves and our sponsors and everybody an opportunity to get some real continuity with people and their calendars.
Well, taking Tasmanian racing to the mainland, which is what it's all about, and speaking of the mainland, the cleaner goes around in the big race at Flemington on Saturday.
Yeah, he'll compete in the Winter Championship final on Saturday. They've given him the visitor's draw. He drew 16, but in actual fact, I think that's probably going to suit him a little bit better than drawing one or two and being cluttered up. From there, Anthony Darmanin, who stays aboard, will be able to make his own way across the front of the field without having feeling like he's got pressure inside him or outside him to hold a position. So fingers crossed for the big horse. I know talking to Mick Burles last Sunday at Devonport, he was very happy with him, said he was jumping out of his skin.
Well, that's great news, and we'll be talking to Mick a little later in the show. Now, Devonport last Sunday, winning double for Adam Trender and a treble to the state's leading apprentice.
Yeah, Bullet Muku actually outrode his claim on Sunday, so that's a big achievement for Bullet. He's certainly come a long way. And three of his rides were winning rides, and they'll lead us off in terms of a recap on that meeting. Certainly the winner, Private Currency, a horse that we've mentioned over the shows in recent weeks, he was a terrific effort to come. He got cluttered up back in the field, and looking at the stride master data, he was still officially seventh at the 200 metre mark. So a view of the video and the head-on replay really tells you how much steering Bullen had to do to try and find that inside passage and then get up for the victory.
A runaway victory first up for Private Currency, and really had to work hard there, as you mentioned. So you're predicting a good future for this galloper?
Yeah, shows his genuine adaptability that, he's not one-dimensional, and he can certainly cope with any situation. And I think going forward, that's a big tick for him, he's capable of getting back in the field if the tempo's on, or if there isn't any tempo, that he can take the running up.
Oh, Angel Brakey's got a smart one on the hands there. What about the performance of Soundbar?
Yeah, he's terrific, the horse, this little three-year-old. He sat three deep outside the leaders, but, worked within himself and still managed to run really strong sectionals and hold off all comers. We found Royal Beluga, and she ran a terrific race. Once again, posted very strong sectionals late in her race, and she'll pay to follow. I know talking to Adam Trinder post the event that he was tossing up taking Soundbar to Victoria and giving him a run in Melbourne, so that just shows how much of an opinion Adam's got there. But coming back to Royal Beluga, she's definitely got her hoof on the till.
Certainly one to follow. What about Little May?
Yeah, well, that probably a ride Bullet would like to forget, little May. She actually just going through the data and she managed to break 22 for 400 metres mid race. So she's done all her work mid race and left her very vulnerable late. And she's probably done a good job to hold on and run fourth. She was beaten less than two lengths, so she's definitely a forgive run going forward. That if you missed out on her this time, that she's probably worth following up.
Well, if you're looking to get the edge in Tasmanian racing, you just need to head to the Tas Racing website and have a look at Stridemaster, because it was very, very interesting regarding the tempo of the two distance races on the day.
Indeed, yeah, very, very much so. You know, trying to make a comparison between the two, they were virtually they were polar opposites, with the Integer leading out in the benchmark 68. And for 800 metres of that event, he managed to average 13 seconds per furlong. And when you compare that to the leaders in the maiden Class 1 race, where they consistently broke 12 seconds for that section of the race, it just goes to show you how much variability there can be in tempo. And, you know, the closing sectionals from Genuine Lad, and in particular Chimed In, she gave him a start and you know, she got within three lengths of him, but, you know, we certainly know the opinion that people have of Genuine Lad, but her performance was full of merit as well. So they're two horses certainly on the up.
And Genuine Lad, the track record holder, of course, at Devonport.
He is, yeah. He certainly didn't get anywhere near it the other day. I think he was 3.5-4 seconds outside of that time the other day. But, you know, he managed to break 24 his last 400, so it was always going to be difficult for anyone back in the field to run him down, but as I said, Chimed In, she did run the quickest last 400 of the race and one of the quickest of the day.
And good reports around about Tennessee Drive going into the race meeting.
Yeah, look, he was very impressive, this bloke. I hadn't seen him at the races, obviously his first time out, and his trials had been okay without being overly impressive, but he broke 36 his last 600 and 24 his last 400. So, you know, he's shown some genuine ability there. He's a lovely type of horse. Unfortunately, they've had some soundness issues with him, and that checking the stewards report post-race was that he pulled up lame again. So hopefully Troy Blacker and the team can get him back to the races sooner rather than later, that it's something that he can overcome. But, you know, obviously a horse with more than his share of ability.
Now, with the Stridemaster and the video replays that are all available on the Tas Racing website, what can we look forward to as far as lining our pockets at the weekend with the using those two tools to find a winner in this big card coming up in Hobart on Sunday?
Well, I think we can kick off in race one. We found Midnight Tears over her last couple of starts, and she didn't let us down last time winning, and it was worth noting that her winning time in the two-year-old maiden was, in fact, quicker than the open maiden on the day. So she takes that form into another two-year-old handicap. She's down 56.5, and whilst taking on some better quality horses like Concrete Johnny and Don't We Love It, I think the fact that she's hard fit and going well, she can kick us off to a decent start.
And Flash B and Bideford, as far as race number four goes.
In the second race, yeah, Bideford, we found him out of the trials the other week at Hobart, and he ran a very solid race at his first start at Launceston. But there's a couple of unknowns in this race, in particular Flash B. She's a three-quarter sister to Stippity B and Beryl B, and she's had a couple of trials. She was given a soft trial here yesterday, so if you want to check that out, you can go to the website and check the trials. They're up from Hobart yesterday. And, you know, she's a bit of a watch. She's a daughter of Snippetson, and we know they handle the wet quite well, as the family all do. So she might be one to trouble Bideford, but on exposed form, he's going to be the horse to beat there.
And you found one in race five?
Race four, yeah. Sorry about that. I've typed in the wrong one. We've got race four. It is actually Go Karma of Graham McCulloch's. He's reeled off two reasonably strong sectionals that his last two outings, and in particular his last 400 when fifth behind Solandro last time out in the maiden here was virtually identical to the Solandro's winning last 400 of 25.7 seconds. So if he can take that form back into this race, I think he'll be a good each-way chance.
And what about Tuesday Night Delight? I won't ask which race it's in. I'll let you tell me.
I've got that one right. That's race six. She, as we mentioned the other week, she was terribly unlucky on the video. You could see her held up for at the top of the straight, and she charged the line late in the open handicap behind Spywares Prado. And she drops back to a 78 here, albeit a very competitive one. She takes on Havana Stash, who's first up, and Van Diemen's Fire, who's in terrific winning form. So she'll know she's alive, but certainly mare in form, and probably going to be reasonable value with the likes of Havana Stash and Van Diemen's Fire in the race. She'll present good value there. If you'd like to check out how Havana Stash is going, he's had a recent trial in Hobart as well, so you can line that up there through checking them out on the replays.
And there's some strong form in the last 1600 metre benchmark 68.
Yeah, it's a cracking race to finish the card. We've got last start winner in King's View. He's won his last two, and we know how impressive he's been from back in the field. And obviously, tempo is going to be very, very particular for him if he's going to get back and expect to finish over the top of these. And the speed map, I think, the key to it, looking at the Stridemaster speed map, will be Land a Dollar from Barrier 4 with Cody Grace on. He's really clicked with Cody, and his performance was terrific the other week at Launceston, and that form's been franked by both Blacko and Al Casanova winning last weekend. So I think it's going to end up being a particularly strong race, this race, the benchmark 68 over the mile. And there's also another one that we highlighted the other week that might be good each-way value, and that's Land Star. She posted the fastest last 600 of her race, which was behind Luca Bell at Launceston as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of form coming together in that race, and I think if you find a winner, you'll have done well and collected at good value.
So trial videos, video replays, Stridemaster, all on the TAS Racing website, along with the tips for Hobart's meeting. Nine races on the card, and those tips in the first, Simon.
Yes, I'll just bring those up here. We've got we've gone with Midnight Tears on top. As we mentioned, she's done little wrong. She's rock hard fit, and she's definitely the horse with the current form, telling us that she's going to be the one to beat. From one Concrete Johnny, six Cheers Chappie, and three Don't We Love It.
What about race number two?
Race two, again, the Brunton stable here with Cran Basild. Brendan McCool stays aboard, drawn particularly well, and was narrowly beaten last time out. Looks the one to beat. From one Bideford, four Flash B, and two Bling Dynasty.
Race three on the card is the Maiden Plate over the 1400.
Once again, the Brunton camp to the fore, this time with number 11, Princess Bombora. She gets the claim with Cody Grace. She's posted two good runs at her last two starts and looks particularly hard to beat. From nine Golden Aces, two Fringer, and four Porto.
And the next race is the second division of the Maiden.
The second division of the Maiden here. And Spirit of Naya, she was second the other day in Launceston in the faster of the two divisions of the Maiden there. She gets her chance here from a good barrier and in-form Bullet Nuku aboard. Nine Lacey As for second, two Go Karma, and one Weekend Winner.
Race five on the card is the Class One over the 1400 again.
We've got four last start winners coming into this race, but we've gone with the top weight here, and that's Grey Hype. He's shown a real liking for heavy ground, and that's what we've got at the moment with a heavy nine down here in Hobart. We think he gets his chance in a relatively strong Class One. From five, She's a Stig, four Chips, and two Mundine.
And we need you to sharpen the pencil for the quaddie, because race number six of the first leg, it's over 1100, the benchmark 78, and Van Diemen's Fire shooting for a winning hat-trick.
Yeah, we've gone with the quality runner here, and that's Havana Stash. He's first up, and although meeting some very strong opposition in terms of recent form, the strength of his form throughout the summer racing carnival suggested he was above average. He's shown a capacity to handle wet ground, and he's trialled quite well in lead up to this. So it's three on top from four Van Diemen's Fire, five Tuesday Night Delight, and one Mundine.
And three last start winners in the Class Two over the 1200.
Yeah, we've gone with one of those actually, and that's six Beck and Call. Jason Lyon suspended from the last meeting, and Brendan McCool takes over here. She was quite impressive, this ex-Kiwi filly, at her first start in Tasmania, and seemed to relish the wet ground. We've tipped her on top from 5 Speedy Sort, 3 Planetary, and 9 Sister Quest.
And the open handicap over the 1400 is race 8.
Can't go past last start winner here again, Inspire Wears Prado. He was dominant first up, relishes the wet ground, and can see him going on with the job well and truly again. From 1 JB's GG, 6 Pangala's GG, and 3 North Lodge.
And as you mentioned a little earlier, the last is a tough one for quaddie punters.
We've narrowed it down, and we've gone with 6 Kingsview. He's been dominant his last two wins. He's shown a real capacity to relish the wet ground here at Hobart, and we think he'll be the horse to beat again. From 4 Land Star, 2 Land A Dollar, and 5 Grey Gown.
Well, if Kingsview wins, we might be able to get Edwin Bett on to give another little ditty that he sang for us last week on the show if he notches up a winning hat-trick.
That was terrific. I grew up listening to Punter to Punter, so it certainly brought back a lot of memories for me.
That's great, and I'm sure it did for many others as well. Thanks for your time today, Simon.
Pleasure again.
They're set. Away they go.
Now on TAS Racing Talk, time to talk harness racing.
Dandy Patch final last Sunday in Hobart. It was a great result for the Salter family. Nolan Marlene Salter, the breeders of Bossenhagen, and trainer-driver, their son, Christian Salter, joins us today. How are you, Christian?
Yeah, really well, thank you.
Must have been a great thrill for him to finally turn the tables on his nemesis, Jerry's Jet, in what turned out to be a great final on Sunday.
Yeah, it was. It was really nice. It was quite a bit of a relief as well. I didn't sort of go in there expecting that he was going to win, even though we drew inside the other horse. We wanted to draw better, of course. But I just had a bit of a feeling that that horse may be just a little bit too sharp for him. But as it was, he knuckled in and he done a really good job, so it was quite a relief.
Well, he's only had the 4 starts. He's been promising to win one. He ran third to Jerry's Jet back on the 12th of May in the Big Park Sweepstakes Heat. Came out and ran second in the final, only beaten by narrow margins, and then second again in the prelude of the Dandy Patch, beaten 2.5 metres. Did you have it in mind to try and hold that lead right from the start?
It was the case. Sort of try to be in front and just sort of be aware of the other horse, of how quick he is, sort of thing. So, yeah, that was always the plan.
It's a tremendous battle, particularly over the last 800 metres. It was head and head all the way.
Yeah, which is one of the things with, I guess it'll be with this horse, and in the breed in particular, his half-brother from a couple of seasons ago, O'Grady, he was a horse that quite often, like, if he was in front, they sort of race off the bit, and, you know, if you like, you could probably call them a bit dumb when they first start racing, because they just don't know what to do much. And so that was one of my concerns, even though we wanted it to be in front, he doesn't know how to race, and they do take a few races to sort of switch on, they do. So, that's just the way I sort of it out.
Well, you've mentioned O'Grady. He was a stake money earner of $85,000 and was also from Also Rosie, your very great producer. She had the 37 starts on the track. She won 11. She was placed 10 times, racing in the mid to late 90s. And she's really made her mark in the barn, hasn't she? She's had 6 foals to race for 6 winners, including Bossenhagen.
Yeah, no, she's been a terrific broodmare. She has, unfortunately, she lost a foal last year. But, she's been tremendous. Like, O'Grady was good. Vinokurov, he was really good. Like, I think O'Grady won his year of the Dandy Patch as well. Unfortunately, he broke down, which, you know, one of the things with a couple of them, they have gone that way a bit because they end up being quite big horses.
Well, her 6 foals to win, Vander Arden, Vinokurov, Gambler's Rustler. Vinokurov topped the $100,000 mark with $105,000. Gambler's Rustler almost got there, $97,000. O'Grady with $85,000. It's what I like about you, going well at the moment, $35,000. And now we've got Bossenhagen at $23,000. What are the plans now for the next month or two for this exciting youngster?
Well, basically, on Sunday, he'll line up in the head of the Breeders' Crown. All things, well, hopefully he can go around and win that. There's still a couple of nice horses in that race. It's a small field, but like the horse that ran, Mr. Lennox, he ran third in the sweepstakes. So, yeah, he's certainly going to be, you know, he'll be wound up to make sure he goes well in that as well. If he's fortunate enough to win that, he'll probably have a few days break and then sort of ready for the semi-finals, which I think are on about the 16th of August.
Now, as trainer-driver, you've been associated with a couple of good ones over the years. You've mentioned O'Grady, who really turned out to be a tough customer. There was also Cloudy Delight. That must have been a very great experience to be involved with such a performer.
Yeah, she was a very good filly as well. Fortunately, she made the final of the Breeders' Crown in her season. Didn't have a lot of luck in it, but she was a good horse. She was, and she was very strong. She was so, but like he Boson Hagen, he's shown because he's switched on so early. Only having his the four starts, where for example, like O'Grady, he took a few sort of probably half a dozen runs to really switched on. But, he's sort of shown that he has got quite a bit of potential.
How many have you got in work at the moment, Christian?
We've only got about, I think there's seven horses here all up. That's it, there is. So a small team and just try and do them well.
Well, I'm sure it keeps you busy enough, obviously working hard as well. We wish you all the luck for Sunday night and the future with this very smart two-year-old.
Great, thank you very much.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
Time for Harness Racing Talk now on Taz Racing Talk this week. Who better to speak to than the co-development manager in Kevin Nielsen? How are you, Kev?
Yeah, good, thanks, Shane.
What about the performances of our stars on the mainland for the last 7 days?
Well, Nola Mayhem and Barinya fronted up in the Vicbred Super Series finals at Melton on Saturday night. And both of them locked wheels and were put out of business in the early stages of the race. Nola Mayhem down the back the first time when she was in a reasonable position. And Barinya, when she was charging through the middle of the pack just after the start to go outside the leader, she locked wheels with Tallulah Bay. Both of them were back out to last, and that was the end of the penny section. She did run a very quick split down the back as Rowan sensibly put her into the race still, even though she didn't have much chance. She got to third on the corner, but by then she'd spent her pennies and she just jogged up the straight, really. Rowan didn't knock her about. It was a great run. No luck at all. She didn't lose any admirers, Shane.
And she'll be going around in Tasmania this week.
Well, the Breeders' Crown heat for three-year-old fillies were scheduled for Hobart on Monday night. There was only one acceptor, Barinya. Now, she's still required to go around. Now, seeing it's a two-and-a-half-hour, three-hour drive for Dickoos from Corolla to Hobart, sensible decision has been made to let her run around at some stage during the Launceston meeting on Sunday night. And by completing the course, she'll qualify for the semi-finals of the Breeders' Crown, which will be conducted at Ballarat, and I think it's on the 16th of August, Saturday the 16th of August, and that'll lead into about the $200,000 finals for the three-year-olds, and that is on Sunday the 24th of August.
And no doubt she'll be one of the leading chances in that race.
For sure. She's one of the leading fillies in Australia. I said the run last Saturday night did nothing to dent that reputation, and I know Dickies is really keen to get back and have another crack and grab some reasonable luck in the Breeders' Crown Series in late August.
Well, she's been firing on all cylinders, and another young man who's been doing the same is Alex Ashwood.
Now, let's go through some performances during the week. Alex is the headline act again. He got a treble at Ballarat last Wednesday night. The first one he drove was for his father, Rod, who trained Mojo Major, and Alex and his mother, Paige, are part owners. Alex followed up later in that meeting with a treble with Western Gretel and Our Dream Lover. Now, Chip and Gale. Chip and Gale was a mare that was bred by Barry Rattray and his next-door neighbour, Ron Eels. She's a very smart three-year-old. She's out of a half-sister to Gorsebush, being Bar Ron, so closely related to Bow Tide. She's one of Australia's top three-year-old fillies. I think she had about 25 starts in Australia, won about 129,000 in 16 races, sold to America as an early four-year-old, raced right through to 11 years of age. 300 starts altogether, 65 wins, about 85 placings, and just over $500,000 in stake money. 2010, she was bought by the prominent Western Australian breeder Robert Watson. Now, he's also the breeder that purchased Pixel Perfect out of the Tasmanian yearling sales in 2008. And I know he's also purchased Lord Ayres, the star Tasmanian mare who eventually found her way to America as well. And he's brought her back to Australia. So he's got a keen eye for Tasmanian stock, has Mr. Watson, Robert Watson. Now, her first foal, Chip and Gale, is a three-year-old by Art Major, and that won at Mildura last Friday. And it's taken its career record to four wins and three placings and 15 starts. And shown another Tasmanian connection, Ken Rattray. Now, people as old as me, perhaps not you, Shane, but people as old as me can remember Ken competing in Tasmania. He's a relative of the Wayne and Barry Rattray clan. I think he might be a third cousin. Certainly prominent in Tasmania in the 80s and early 90s. He had some star performers. Ebony Mack won 25 races, Bradford Hanover 12, Jesus 12. Went to Queensland, renewed his licence in 1995, and in 2008 took over the training of a four-year-old gelding called Distraos. And he'd had 50 starts in New Zealand, 7 wins, 18 placings. Now, last Saturday night, Rattray took Distraos to Menangle. It's Ken Rattray we're talking about. Probably to avoid I'm the Mighty Quinn at Albion Park, and it might have been a good decision. I think the I'm the Mighty Quinn went round and in just a tick over 150 and set a track record up there in his race. Distraos at Menangle won a $17,500 free-for-all, and he's now had 321 starts. 73 wins, 102 placings, almost $600,000 in stake money, and he's fast closing in on what is believed to be the Australian record number of starts for a harness horse, being 377. So the way he's going, in 12 months' time, we'll probably see Distraos with that record. So he's a super horse. Delightful Christian won a M1 M3 mares race at Menangle on Saturday night. Pushed forward, did plenty of work out of the gate. Couldn't lead, got cover, fast race, pulled off the leaders back in the home straight and won convincingly. And the interesting thing about Delightful Christian is that each of her four wins at Menangle, she's improved her time. Her first win was in 154.4, then down to 154.3, 153.5, and 152.1 last Saturday night. So maybe a stable-made bow tie's had a bit of a chat in her ear and said, look, lift your game, girl, and I'm sure you can do it. And she's, for whatever reason, she's responding magnificently at the moment, Delightful Christian, and certainly putting some super performances on the board. Later on was in the same race, and actually later on's a half-sister to the previously mentioned Chip and Gale. She was a super run in Delightful Christian's race. She came from last and finished fourth, and she's in again this Saturday night at Menangle.
Just worries me how old I am, Kev, because Ken Rattray, I reckon it was, 1984 that he drove Star of Broadway to win the Tasmanian Pacing Championship, and I was calling that race, so that's a real worry.
No, we can question your age, Shane, but we can't question your memory. You're spot on there. He had some very smart horses, and all of those horses I mentioned, Jesus, Bradford, Hanover, Ebony Mack, they didn't win ordinary races. They were up in the best races for young horses, and also Ebony Mack in particular through free-for-alls later in life.
Yeah, absolutely. What about the week coming up?
Oh, huge again, Shane. Melton Friday night, the majority, trained by David Dwyer out of the Brighton Training Centre. He's one of the three harness trainers training from the Thoroughbred Barns at the Brighton Training Centre. He's taking the majority to Melton for an MO heat, race 2, number 6. And Hugo Play was first up about 3 weeks ago for Bill and Tamara Fordry being the owners. And Hugo Play's entered for an M2, M4, race 5, number 2. Albion Park on Saturday night, 2 Big Z's in race 3, number 6. And a little bit of Chicken Fried's taking on the Elite this Saturday night. $45,000 4 and 5-year-old championship. And there are some high-class horses in that race. And we'll certainly see how good a little bit of Chicken Fried is. He'll probably go around at odds of 50 to 1, 66 to 1 in this high-class race. Menangle on Saturday night, already mentioned that later on's going around. She's in race 2, number 6. Corralta Impulse races regularly there for Wayne and Gay Rattray. She's entered in the $50,000 New South Wales Breeders' Challenge, race 7, number 5.
And Sunday night in Launceston, we've got a huge program, 11 races and Barinya.
Yeah, it's an appreciation night for Kevin Gillies. He's facing a significant health challenge, Kev, and the club is acknowledging the outstanding contribution that Kevin is making to harness racing in the north of Tasmania, particularly through the trials with the Northern Tasmanian Light Harness Association. He is a stalwart of those trials that are usually conducted fortnightly of a Saturday morning. And the club is putting on an appreciation night for Kevin. I'm sure he'll be there with all his many friends and just enjoy a good night of racing where many of the races are named after horses that Kev used to be associated with. And two divisions of the two-year-old. First time in memory, Shane, I can recall a two-year-old race being divided in Tasmania. It's a very good sign for the future, you know, for good Tasbred horses coming through. Patcher Cutie continues the march towards the Breeders' Crown in race 8. And the exciting three-year-old Franco Sheffield, who I think is going to have a couple of runs in Melbourne shortly. He's attempting his fifth win in race 6. I don't think those runs will be in the Breeders' Crown because I don't think Franco Sheffield is Breeders' Crown eligible. And on the Breeders' Crown, two heats for the two-year-olds are races 10 and 11, and they'll be attempting to qualify for the $20,000 semis at Ballarat on 16 August. And the finals for the two-year-olds are worth almost $300,000 for the 3-year-olds, 200,000 at Melton on Sunday, the 24th of August.
And another card coming up in Hobart on Sunday, on Monday rather.
That's right, Shane. We jumped in there together with that one.
We're excited.
Seven races on Sky One, and the first with the usual start time around 6:17. The last around about 9:16.
And we can catch up with all the latest information on the TasRacing.com.au website, including the Punter's Corner, which will certainly lead you in the right direction. Jamie Cockshutt's tips will be on there, and we'll be speaking to Jamie shortly on the show. Thanks for your time again today, Kev.
Yeah, my pleasure, Shane.
Have the pens poised, because now it's time to find some winners at the Harness Racing Meeting coming up in Launceston on Sunday night. A bumper program, 11 races on the card, as we welcome Jamie Cockshutt. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, not too bad, Shane.
Now, what about this quaddy? How are we going to snare this on Sunday?
Yeah, the first week's a pretty tough race, mate. A few chances. But Mr. Ryan Jack resumed with a very good run about 3 weeks ago when he led, got plenty of pressure, and got run down late, but let it go a pretty slick time. He has proven in the past he's got a very good sprint on him, and can, and with the right run of the race, he'll be take plenty of breathing. The family guy's in career best form, as he'll push through from barrier 9, find the breeze, and you know he'll be there right there to the finish. Cyril from the pocket resumed last week with a good win, but he's up in class here, but is the leader. Paris Express is going to get a good run behind the leader on the peg, so he can run a place, but I'm happy to go from 11, Mr. Ryan Jack, from 9, the family guy, 1 and 8, Cyril from the pocket, Paris Express, mate.
Now, in the second leg, you're part owner of Franco Sheffield. You must be pretty pleased with the way he's going at the moment.
Yeah, he's going good at the moment, Shane. We've had a few issues with him after his two-year-old days, but touch wood, he's back on track, mate. And he'll be very hard to beat in this, but this is his toughest test to date. He's drawn four. You'll push forward, find the breeze, and try and dictate the race from there if he will. But Clamorous is a very smart four-year-old who could also get a good run through, and he's going to be a big danger to Franco Sheffield, mate. So don't take silly odds on Franco. Delightful really resumed with a solid win last week. She'd have to be changed, but this is a lot harder. Put him back, draws to get a good run behind the likely leader, Franco Seals, so he can run a pace at odds and wipe the smile, punt road, disco racing world, and complacent. But I'm happy to go four, Franco Sheffield, to beat 9, Clamorous, and 8, put him back, mate.
Race number 7, this is the C6C7 over the mile. Looks to be a number of chances here.
Yeah, very tough race. Melolin's going to go around a short price favourite, but he'll be fitter for his last run, but he's a little bit disappointing. You know, I've got a bit of a rap on Melolin, and I was a bit disappointed in the run. He'll find the breeze tonight, so he'll try and dictate the race from there. But talk about Dexter's racing career best form, but he draws barrier 7. So he's going to need a bit of luck over the mile. Mill Park Maestro, as you know, he likes to bowl long up front, so he's going to be up outside the leaders, keeping the speed on. A Madman Comes Undone drops back from free-for-all class and resumes here, and on his best form from the pole, he'd take a power of beating, but just not quite sure where he's at. I pity the fool. He's got some hope at good odds as well, mate. So I'm happy to go 3 mile in, but don't take the silly odds on it, mate. From 7, talk about Dexter. 1, A Madman Comes Undone, and 6, Mill Park Maestro.
Race number 8, the free-for-all.
Well, we see Patrick Cooter going around again, mate. He's clearly the one to beat. Remember Joe, as we know, Patrick Cooter, a long time to run him down. He three starts back from Remember Joe and last after Patrick Cooter. If he can hold the lead again, Remember Joe, over the mile from the mobile, he's going to take a bit of catching, but Patrick Cooter's class should get in there. Our chain of command's going to get a good run in transit. Especially if Remember Joe holds the lead. And Albion's Dreams, you know, being pretty impressive in his three local runs here, so he'd be a good place chance as well. But Patrick Cootie's clearly the one to be from 1 and Remember Joe and 4 chain of command, mate.
So how are we going to go about constructing a quaddie for Sunday night?
We'll go two quaddies. We'll go a quaddie, first leg, we'll go 1, 4, 7, 8, 9, 11. Second leg, we'll go 4 and 9, putting Clamorous just in case. Third leg 3 and 7, last leg 3, just Patrick Cootie by itself. $24 give you 100%. Then we'll go another one, which we'll go a bit wider in the third leg, just in case Melolin gets beat. We'll go 1, 4, 7, 8, 9, 11 into 4 and 9. Into 1, 2, 6, 8, 9 into 3. $36 flexi cost give you 50% of the dividend, mate. There's a couple. The better bet on the night, race 1, number 1, Grace Campbell. She's a very handy 2-year-old, pretty much. She's drawn the pole, and if she holds up, she should just win, mate. I'd be very disappointed if she don't. And we'll play that race as a bit of a race to, for the exotics, mate. We'll go one Grace Campbell to win. From 8, Crowley Jasmine is going to get the dream run on her back. And, you know, we'll pose a bit of a danger. We'll chuck in numbers 2, 3, 4, 7, 9 for third for the trifecta. $5 dividend will give you 100%. And we'll just reverse them around, mate. We'll go 1 to win, 2, 3, 4, 7, 9 for second, 8 for third for $5 dividend and 100%. Also go a first 4 that race, mate. 1 to win, 8 for second, 2, 3, 4, 7, 9, third and fourth, $20 plexi, 100%. And 1 to win, 2, 3, 4, 7, 9 for second, 8 for third, 2, 3, 4, 7, 9 for fourth, $20, 100%, mate. A couple of each way bets on the program too, mate. Race 3, number 2, Cardinal Spec, was very good run last week when coming from a long way back. He's drawn 2. I don't think he'll be able to utilise the draw because he was high out last week on the pole, but if he's close enough, Ricky Duggan jumps on board tonight. He looks a good each way bet. As does race 9, number 5, Jane Grant, who's dropping back from the bean box following to a much easier race.
What about the program in Hobart on Monday night?
We'll just go a quick look at a quality Hobart chain. We'll go the first leg, numbers 4 and 5. Second leg, we'll go numbers 2, 5, 8, 9. Third leg, we'll go 5, 6, 8, 9, 10. Last leg, 1, 2, and 4. $60 flex will give you 50% of the dividend, mate. And there's a horse I've been noticing at the trials when I was having its first start on Monday night called Race 4, number 4. It's very strange, you know. Mau Undi Sunday. Been trialling very good. It gets into a very winnable race on debut, so I think, you know, she's a good bet. And there's a one of the huge odds will go around. Race 5, number 2, Better Bolt. Finally draws the barriers on Monday night. And with any luck, you know, can place, if not win it, you know, probably 30 or 40 to 1, mate.
Good on you, Jamie. And if you want the edge on the Tassie Harness Racing, just head to tasracing.com.au and follow the links through to the Punter's Corner on the Harness Racing section. And you get all Jamie's tips for the bumper program in Launceston on Sunday night and again the big card of racing in Hobart on Monday. Thanks for your time again today, Jamie.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Set now, racing.
Now on Tas Racing Talk, time to talk greyhounds.
Trying to go back over the week now in greyhound racing and also try and find some coming winners out of those particular races. And to fill us in with all the information is Greg Fay. How are you, Greg?
I'm very good, thanks, Shane.
Now, Buckle Up wears a mighty effort in the Winter Cup in Queensland during the week.
Yep, just brilliant. Jumped beautifully from box 4. Looked like he'd lead around the first turn, but Tony Brett's Flash Reality, which is the Derby winner at Albion Park, crossed him on the first turn. He then chased him home, second in a Group 1, still a mighty run. And, gee, you've got to take your hat off to Tony Brett. That's the fourth year in a row he's won that Group 1 race. So he was in esteemed company.
Breeders' Classic semi-final night in Hobart on Thursday, the feature of the week of racing. And the night started off with the impressive Buckle Up Fletch making it 5 out of 10 for Gary Johnson.
Yep, he's probably the most experienced dog in the series. Look, it only started off with 44 runners in the heats, but by crikey, we've ended up with a very good final. He crossed what was probably the easiest heat and led all of the way, ran 26-24, which was terrific. And Butch Deverell and Carlene Cuthbertson have got a pretty smart one in Code Black, which actually took a couple of lengths off him up the straight, and both of them go into the final.
Now, of course, Code Black is by 13 Black from Icy Popsicle, and its litter mate Private Riley took out the second semi.
Yep, for a different trainer, same owner. Neville Allison's got Private Riley. That was a very competitive heat. He jumped in front. Rip and Tear got past him. Sonic Fear got past him, and they looked like fighting it out. And just when Rip and Tear got the better of Sonic Fear, Private Riley lobbed on the scene again and ran them both down. 26-29 was pretty good. Both first and second, Rip and Tear, they both ran their best time so far to go into the final as well.
And Bruni Venture continued the job for Brother Gary in the third semi.
Yeah, he's a cracking dog. He didn't begin as well this week, and he was actually about second or third last off the mat. Shannon and Betty come out humming. He soon got to second, took him all of the straight to run it down, ended up winning by a length and three quarters in a very good 26-13, and both of them progressed to the final.
You made the Robert Gourlay runner Eyes on Destruction, the Black Booker for us a few weeks back. It flew in its semi-final to win in great style.
Oh, ran the quickest sections and the quickest overall time of the four semis, running 26.04. Robert's got quite a few dogs at the moment, quite a few that haven't raced. Hopefully some of the rest of them will be out of this litter because this white ruler litter might be the litter he's been waiting for, because she was very, very impressive. Mr. Noble for Katrina Gregory held on strongly for second, and she's ended up with a very good final.
And who do you like for the final at this point?
Bruni Venture.
Bruni Venture, just one out. With
just a,
ring
a shade of bias, maybe we'll go with Bruni Venture. I think he's an outstanding dog.
Stick with that. Peter Phillips also scored a winning double for Lunday and Dirty Rich.
Yes, I asked him, did he have $20 all up, one up, all up the other, and very sadly he said no. And the reason being, one paid $27.10 and one paid $44.80, which is quite amazing considering the quality of those two dogs, but they were in very good fields. Fiolande was excellent, really. She has first run back from a five-month injury break. And Dirty Rich led a very good field, which included Her Highness and Bit Odd Finchie, that didn't even run a place. So, yeah, they were great efforts.
Now, I remember your pointing is in the direction of Designer Rush a week or two back. It's been placed behind the likes of Senior Slammer, Great Taylors and Good Odds Demon of late. Drew box number 8 for Ken Main and produced the goods.
Look, Ken's done a fantastic job with this dog. Its last 14 starts, I think he's had 2 wins and 11 placings and missed the money once. Box 8 was exactly where he wanted to be, and he certainly didn't waste it. Dark Gladiator for Alison Walker was strong to the line and should be winning soon.
And Keith Nichols doing a mighty job with Class Barbie, who made it back-to-back wins in the last.
Yep, she started her career in a blaze of glory. Then she completely lost the plot, but as Keith can do, he's found the key and got her back, and she's in superb form again at the moment.
And we also had a winning performance earlier in the night in pretty good style for the Rod Ransley runner in race number 2, who was sent out the odds-on favourite.
Yes, Narda Strom. Look, it was a pretty ordinary juvenile on paper, that. He was heavily backed into red figures. Look, he sailed away to a pretty big lead and looked like he was just going to bolt in, and then It's Crunch Time for Graham Moat, which just needs to learn to come out of a box, took lengths off him, and one more stride, she nails him. Pretty good run, her, but Narda Strom, you know, can only win.
And that in race number 4 for Paul Donaldson, coming off a fourth behind Nui's Lad earlier in the week. It motored around the 599-metre journey.
Yeah, look, he's just a terrific dog. Rod Campbell had him for quite some time, and now Paul's training him. He was a place-getter in the Devonport Cup. He's just a cracking dog. He can handle all tracks, all distances, and I think he's going to be aimed at the 700-metre races.
Launceston on Monday night. Russell Watts, no stranger to the winner's circle in the first.
No, it's been known to happen, hasn't it? Irish Gift, look, he beat a modest field, beat them easily. He's a little bit hot and cold, that dog, but on his night, he's pretty smart. He's only a young dog.
Nui's Lad flew in the 278-metre race. He's a real in-and-out customer, isn't he?
He's a beauty on his night. It was absolutely pouring during that race, and he came out like only Nui's Lad can come out, and they never looked like beating him.
What about the run of zero interest in the third over the 278 for Rod Campbell?
Yep, good effort, because it was only about her third start, and the second dog, Sweet Shine, for Patrick Ryan, was having its first start. She got to the lead, looked like she was home for all money, but zero interest, nailed her right on the line.
And Good Odds Demon made it 6 out of 10 by winning the fourth.
Yep, Shane Whitney's got probably, there wouldn't be a more honest, reliable dog in the state unless it's Mumford's son, and they've raced against each other a few times. Look, he's just a good dog. His middle distance is probably his best, but he can handle everything. He's a good dog.
600-metre race, Cosmic Fire showed his strength at the finish of that race for Sonia Martin.
Yes, he did. Get Up Alvin got away to a big lead. Looked like he was probably going to hang on, but Cosmic Fire is just one of these dogs that will not lay down, and he just kept coming in time to get up.
Well, you mentioned Peter Phillips has doubled at big odds. I wonder if he had a few dollars on Dirty Rich in race 6.
Well, I hope so, because he started off pretty good odds around the $8 mark and ended up paying $5.30, which, gee, after his win at Hobart, it did look pretty good price, didn't it?
Certainly did. And what about Senior Slammer? It's in peak form at the moment. 6 from 14, including 2 out of 4 on the track.
Yeah, well, look, Senior Slammer, he's another one. He either wins or he runs up whoop-whoop somewhere, but he's a very good dog. And, gee, he crossed Varco in the run to the first turn, and he sailed away and won by a big space. Knick-Knack Norris got up for second, and Varco, for the second week in a row, produced a career-worst performance.
And Whispering Ash for Wanda Hodges in the final leg of the quaddie, race 8.
Yep, good little beginner. It was a bit of a strange race, that, because it got tackled a couple of times. Underground looked certain to beat it just before the home turn, but he sort of dropped off late, and Whispering Ash held on well for Wanda.
The Rugby Origin series has been in the talk of the town for a couple of weeks. Origin decider in race 9.
Yep, look, look, that was probably the most deserved win of the week. She's been knocking at the door lately. Very good friends in Peter Higgins and Darren Critchley raced this bitch, and she's just really coming good at the right time now, and she won by a big space.
Now, it's taken Amazing Harry a few runs to get its act together, but it's now won two out of its last three.
Look, Kerry Ackley recently took over this fellow, and he's just a different dog now. He was very good at Devonport, but he was even better on Monday night because he was being pursued all the way by a very good bitch in Super Bowl, and he was just too good.
Punters on the mark at Devonport early in the day with the smart runners Despicable Lee and Terracotta Girl.
Yep, Despicable Lee looked the winner off box two, and it looked a certainty when box one was scratched and there was no replacement and she didn't let punters down. Terracotta Girl did a similar job in race two, except she was challenged early on, but she ended up drawing away and winning by a very big space for Butch Deverell.
Scoozaroo has run a couple of good races in its career, and that was another one on Tuesday at Devonport for Jed Mace.
Yep, look, Jed's got a pretty honest little dog. She's limited, but she's honest. That was her second win at Devonport, and both times she's been able to lead all the way.
First leg of a winning double for Gaylene Townsend, with Bennett's Revenge finishing hard.
Yes, he jumped clear last, and he just railed all the way. There were a couple of dogs in that shall remain nameless that didn't pursue the bunny in the desired manner. But he's a good, honest dog, but he ruins his racing by poor beginnings.
And then in race number five, well, Quick Advance, speaking about greyhounds going around at good odds for Robin Grubb.
Yeah, he's a star, especially at Devonport. He had box one, probably better off box eight, but he was chased early by Flash Innings and Dominated Girl, and they both almost crossed him, but he held them out, and then he ended up kicking away. He's a terrific dog on that track, 25.56.
And Adams Molly, very strong for Barry Adams.
Yep, that was another funny race. There were a few different leaders in that race, but Adams Molly just kept pushing up the fence, and in the end she was just too strong for a good win for Barry.
Robert Gourlay's team again on fire in race seven.
Yeah, look, Tez Borrow seems to be a bit of a Devonport specialist. He hasn't had a lot of runs, but he's very speedy, but he needs to lead, and he got away with a big break halfway. Haliski, which is just one of the most improved dogs in work, must have given him six lengths. Got beaten a nose, but as we say, the winning post in the same spot every week.
Brendan Purcell with Alana. It's now won 7 of 21.
Alana is just a really, really good little bitch. She doesn't begin as well as her early pace demands, but box one was just where she wanted to be, and yeah, she was terrific.
Punters sent out Kinloch's Fury, the short-priced favourite in the last.
Yes, Kinloch's Fury made it back-to-back wins. She's a pretty high-class dog in the making, I think, for Eileen Thomas, and 25.67 was outstanding. And just before that, too, Gaylene Townsend's second leg was that was then gave her a double on the day.
So what about a greyhound for us to follow?
Look, a dog that's been frustratingly beaten many times in a row, but Moonlight Bell for Susan Giddes. She ran a third to Good Odds Demon in the 600-metre race at Launceston Monday night. She is one of the most unlucky dogs for interference I've seen for a long time. She'll be winning soon.
Good on you. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Shane.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
And a man who's on a roll is Rick Puccinelli, who joins us for all the tips for greyhound racing coming up for the week. As far as the specials go, two out of three last week. The last man that made that popular was Meatloaf. How are you, Rick?
Very well.
Now, Hobart Greyhound Racing tomorrow night. It's Breeders' Classic final night, and we've got the first leg of the quaddy, which is race five. Winburn Blaze back in action for Scotty Bryan.
Yeah, Shane, he hasn't raced since the 19th of May. Look, when I did the form, I just got an interesting stat. He's won there in 26.16 off box eight. Now, if he happens to run 26.16, he'll win this race. But lately, before he's been having a little bit of a break, he's been slow out and running centre of the track. Look, I'm putting him on top, going on the 26.16 win from box eight. Put him on top. Seven underground. I was a shade disappointed with his run in Launceston on Monday night. He's a speed dog. He didn't lead, and that was probably the end of him when he didn't lead underground. I put him in for second. So I put in for third, number six, Super Bowl. Battled on quite good on Monday night. They went good time. It's got a chance. And I thought number two, Still. Thought its last few runs have been quite good, and it's run behind Callaway Krusty. Amended time was 26.37. Got a chance. 8, 7, 6, and 2.
Race 6 on the card, the Breeders' Classic Final.
Shane, found this a very, very hard race to work out because there's an absolute deluge of early speed here, and I refer to 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. All got good manners. Look, I just went with the quickest heat winner, Eyes on Destruction. Look, 26.04. I know the kennel have always had a good rap on it, and it's delivering the goods. And it's, to me, it's one of those greyhounds that just keeps improving with each run it has. And now, if it runs 26.04, I think it'll be winning the final. Five on top. Four, Bruni Venture. Now, before the series started, I was bringing him as the dog to beat. He's still got a very, very good chance. He didn't lead last week. He got into second spot. Then he overrun Channel and Betty. I thought his run was very good, considering I always thought he was just a leader-type only dog. I put him in for second, number four. Eight, Buckle Up Fletch. Didn't let us down last week. Look, he's got box 80. He might utilise his high speed. He's definitely got to be in the mix. And the dog that's improving with each run that I keep rating him is a dog called Private Riley. Now, he's trained by Neville Allison, and Neville Allison definitely knows how to train a big-time winner. And, look, he's the one that's going to be storming home with the early speed. 5, 4, 8, and 3 in a great race.
Third leg, your old mate Senor Slammer goes around box number two.
Yeah, Shana, I've got to tip him because I can't find a genuine lot of high speed here, and he's a high-speed greyhound, and, look, he can run very, very quick time on the bunny. He didn't let us down on Monday night at Launceston from box 8. I think he's the way to go. 2 on top. 1, Steel O's Magic's got a very, very good draw. Look, it's run third behind. Despicable Matt was very good at Devonport at its last appearance. It's got to be in the mix. 8, High Caution. Just not 100% certain that it's absolutely at its very best, but got box 8. It's a big plus. EA Medhurst, another tick for the right box. Got to have a chance. And I put in number 4, Bailey's Comment. Now, it's been placed 6 or 7 on this track. It's a real grinder. It's got no real high speed, but if there's any trouble in the race, it's the one that'll be working home strongly. 2, 1, 8, and 4.
And in the last leg, race number 8, the main chances look to be drawn off the track.
Yeah, Shane, when I did the form for this race, I went with the outside draws in number 7, Real Caution. Now, he's won 4 from 7. He's a speed dog, and he's going to get a lovely run of cart across with Tizza Gold. I put him on top, Real Caution. 8, Good Question. Now, he had a run over the 5.99, was tardy to begin, then got a check. He still ran second. He got tired, but he's had 2 runs over the 4.61 for 2 wins, and he's gone very, very good time in winning in both. He must be second pick, Good Question. 3rd pick, I put in number 6, Tizza Gold. Now, there's some chance off my speed maps that she might zoom to the lead. If so, she run a very bold race. And I'm putting number 1, Rockville. Thought its run last week was very good. It'll grow a leg from box 1. Nick Howard's a good little mentor with a dog. Give it a chance. 7, 8, 6, and 1.
Hobart Quaddy, first leg, 8.7.6.2. Second leg, 5.4.8.3 in the Breeders' Classic Final. Third leg, 2.1.8.4. Last leg, 7, 8, 6, and 1. Where's your best for Hobart?
We're going again with the Russell Watts Juggernaut in race 2, number 5, Islands Force. Don't think it'll be any flash odds. Very, very good bitch. Winner in Launceston in 35.03. Strong rails, does everything right. Race 2, number 5, Islands Force.
Launceston on Monday night, heat night of the J.G. Nelson Cup. You would have been there for the first running of this feature in its original form, Rick. Wasn't yesterday. Race number 5, the first leg. My top little favourite, Quick Advance, goes around in race 5.
It's my on-top pick, Shane. I think he'd be very, very hard to beat. Very good winner at Devonport on Tuesday. Might zoom to the lead here and take a bit of beating. 4 on top. 7, Little Turn. Didn't mind its win at Launceston recently, and they only went 30-23, but it overcame a little bit of difficulty to win. Thought its run was very good, put it in for second. 8, Despicable Matt. Just not quite sure of the draw, but look, he's going very good, and he might get a card across with Little Turn. And I put in number 1, Still. You know, drawn box 1, got a good chance. Thought it, you know, might be a little bit of value. 4, 7, 8, and 1.
And the champ's back in the second leg.
Yeah, Buckle Up, Wes. He'd be very, very hard to beat. He'll probably go around very, very short. I don't think it's clear-cut that he's any great moral, like he's going to be $1.20 or $1.30. Hellier Bolt's 2 runs in the Meadows recently have been very good. He's got to be second pick. 8, Nui's Lad. He's won 3 from 4 from this box, and there is some chance off my speed maps that he might lead Buckle Up, Wes. I put him in for third, and I put in number three, Adams Molly. Has broken the 32nd barrier here, has recorded 29.89, thought its win at Devonport on Tuesday was A-OK. I think I'll only be playing two dogs, six and four, but you must include, if you're playing exotics, eight and three.
Well, in the third leg, you tipped it on Thursday night. Senior Slammer going around again on Monday.
Yeah, Shane, Gary Johnson's not frightened to put him round, but he seems to back his dogs up very well. And look, I've got to tip him on top again, Senior Slammer. He's got a good draw. He's got a desperate railer in six. Thought he might zoom down the outside, and if he happened to lead, he'll take a bit of beating. Four Dirty Rich was impressive last Monday night at Launceston. Chain in the wet went 30-21, beat an Orange Boy. Give it a chance. I'm really taken with number five, Her Highness, as a greyhound. She's got a good will to win. Box five's not ideal, but you must include. And I put in Mr. Consistent, Gemstone Jack. Watched his run at the Meadows over the 600 when he ran second. Don't know if he was really putting in, but he's always thereabouts. 7, 4, 5 and 2.
And in the last league, we've got a couple of last winners there. Alana, Class Barbie, just to name a few.
Yeah, Shane, I went with the outside dogs, and I think there's some chance that a dog called Shantytown Lad can cross and probably lob second behind Hard as Nails. And for that reason, I put 7 on top Shantytown Lad. Might be a little bit of value. 8 Alana's going very good, and I just think that she might come across with Shantytown Lad. 2 Class Barbie's got a very good draw and going very well for Keith Nichols. And 1 Hard as Nails, probably the likely leader. 7, 8, 2 and 1.
Launceston Quaddy, first leg 4, 7, 8, 1. Second leg 6, 4, 8, 3. Third leg 7, 4, 5, 2. And the last 7, 8, 2, 1. I've got a good question for you now, Rick. What's your best bet for Launceston?
You've already mentioned in that little statement, chain. Race 9, number 1, good question. Just think this is not an overly strong race. I can just see him settling second or third out of the straight. He's very, very strong. I think he's going good. Rod Ransley, you know, ticks a few boxes. Race 9, number 1, good question.
Devonport on Tuesday. You on the Russell Watts bandwagon in the first leg?
Yes, I am, Shane. I've gone with number 3, Super Bowl. Thought it'd be very, very hard to beat. I thought number 2, Ukulele Swinger, had a chance from the draw. Desperate Railer, be strong at the finish, got a chance. Number 1, Bridport Rain, might be a roughie that you must include in all your multiples on Devonport on Tuesday, Shane. Had no luck over the 600 recently. And I thought number 4, Honest to Rod. He may well be the likely leader and he might run a cheeky race at good odds. 3, 2, 1, 4.
Dartboard job, the second leg.
Found it very, very hard, Shane. I went with number 8, Classic Nico, only because it might be one of the leaders. Thought it would be hard to beat. 7, Woodley Dole. It's going very good for Lee Woods at the moment and always runs a good race at Devonport. 1, Mega Daenerys. Now, the gate shut on Tuesday at Devonport and it shut because I was on it and I thought it had some chance from the red box. And I thought number 4, Loving Lucy. Got some good form at Devonport. Can run around the 26-second barrier. It's got a chance. 8, 7, 1, 4.
In the third leg, well, it's the Origin decider on tonight, so what are you tipping?
I'm tipping number 1, Shane. You're leading me in too well here today. 1 on top. 2, Surfs Up Nova. Looked at its Melbourne runs. Goes OK, and it's in that powerful Russell Watts kennel. You must respect that. It's my second pick. 7, Tommy Pinch hasn't raced for a while. Look, On Song, he's a pretty handy little dog. He hasn't got a tail, but he's definitely got some chance. And 6, Shotgun Willie. Now, this greyhound will be storming home. Now, if there's any trouble mid-race, he'll be finding the fence and working home very strongly. 1, 2, 7 and 6.
So, Origin decided the top pick in the third leg. And in the last leg, well, Pat Ryan's Winsome Tommy hit winning form last time out.
Yeah, and I can't see why he can't do it again, Shane. He ran very good splits in winning. He seems to go very good at Devonport. I put him on top. J&A I put in for second, number 3. It's been racing very consistently for Marg Rosendell. I've definitely put it in as second pick. 4, Big Jack Jr.'s an improved dog of late, Shane. And look, you must respect him. And he ran around the 26-second barrier recently at Devonport. And I put in number 7, Steelo's Magic. Thought it had some chance on Monday, on Thursday night, so I'm giving it a chance on Tuesday. 5, 3, 4 and 7.
Devonport Quaddy for Tuesday in the first leg 3, 2, 1, 4. Second leg 8, 7, 1 and 4. Third leg 1, 2, 7, 6. And 5, 3, 4, 7 in the last. All we require from you now, good sir, is a best bet.
Shane, race 11, number 4, Helsinki. I thought it went very, very good last week. Wanted to get off the track, head box 2. look, its amended time was 25.89. Now, if it runs 25.89 in this race, it will be winning. Just needs a tad luck early. I think it'll be very hard to beat. Race 11, number 4, Helsinki.
Making the three best bets for the week, Hobart Race 2, number 5, Launceston Race 9, number 1, Devonport Race 11, number 4. Thanks for your thoughts again today, Rick. We'll get a few more off you next week.
Thanks, Shane.
And we hope you're going to pick up plenty of cash with those tips from Rick for Greyhound Racing this week. And here's another chance to be a winner with the Ultimate Punters Experience, the quiz here on Taz Racing Talk. Compliments of our accommodation partners, Rest Point in Hobart and the Launceston Country Club. You can win trips for two to Tassie, car hire around the state, wine and dine at a Greyhound Harness and Gallop meeting, and also pick up some tips from our experts around the state. And today's quiz, all you need to do is name the horse that's going around on Saturday at Flemington in the Winter Championship trained by Mick Burles. Name the horse going around at Flemington on Saturday in the Winter Championship. Just go to tazracing.com.au, click on the Taz Racing Talk icon, register, and put your answer in there, and you could be having that wonderful Ultimate Punters Experience prize coming your way, and the winning entry will be announced at the end of the month. So don't miss out on your chance of winning such a wonderful prize. And remember, for the edge in Tasmanian racing, head to tazracing.com.au. Look forward to your company again next week.
Taz Racing Talk, live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival. On digital radio across Melbourne, streaming on your computer, tablet and smartphone. And later on podcast at rsn.net.au and tazracing.com.au.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.